Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Hello and welcome to the Prophecy Zone. My name is Phil Armstrong, and I hope everybody out there is having a blessed day. I have a guest on today, one of the other guests, who lives in Canada, and they were having technical issues. So that's great. We're going to have them on. We're going to have them on probably on Sunday, and that'll be awesome if they can come on Sunday. There's an announcement that I want to make. I'm going to be going on the radio in Spokane and Eastern Washington. And so far, the people that were on my show is going to be first dibs. I don't care. I'm going to be able to have the opportunity to interview people like Ron Paul and preachers in my local area that still sort of, have a nice listenership. Governors, congressmen, all kinds of things. So, I've been trying to get a lot of people on Blog Talk Radio on my radio program, and I'm sort of wanting you out there to point either yourself or point somebody else to me who either believes in the Word of God, which is the number one issue, but you don't have to. If you know about political issues, geopolitical issues, if you know about, food, the things that they're putting in our food, or if you have a good grasp of what's going on in any area, just shoot somebody my way, or you shoot yourself my way, and I'll be happy to put you on, because everybody that's going to be on my show here is probably going to be on my show nationally, especially on the 30-minute shows. My plan is to reach the whole nation for Christ and to warn America that Jesus is coming soon. Now, my perspective is not always right, and I, as a radio host, I'm not going to come off as if everything I say is right. Now, I do believe 100,000,000,000% that there is a rapture of the church. That's, don't even try to change me on that one, because I'm sort of set in my ways on that. But that's a secondary issue. But is it really a secondary issue? Because if the Colts and the Saints are playing and no one tells them where the game is going to be, wouldn't they be more prepared than if they knew the game is going to be on February 7th? Because then you'll go, if you don't know when the game, so they can come to you at any moment and say, oh, the game is tonight. Hurry up, get your stuff ready. Hold on, and you pack your stuff, and you get out there, and you get ready, and you put your clothes on, and, oh, man, I can't believe this. And then the team that's not prepared get blew out, kind of like the 10 versions or the 5 versions who had no oil in their lamp. And that oil that you need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. The closer you are to Jesus, it's like reverse kryptonite. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you're going to be ready for his coming. But when you have that Holy Ghost inside of you, you're going to be ready for his coming. I have a guest that's on right now. Oh, man, I was listening to his program. And he had another guest, and I apologize for not getting that other person's name, but I was at school, so I was like, going to get ready to go to class, and I didn't want to leave. I wanted to just finish what he was saying and what the other individual was saying. I can't even give you a date who that was. I know it was a preacher. I think it was a preacher, but I can't remember, and I apologize for that. Chad, he hosts a show, American Speak, on Blog Talk Radio. He also hosts a show called Plain Truth on the Brand Network, the Freedomizers Radio Network, Brand Network. He is a minister. And believe it or not, he worked for Trinity Broadcasting Network. He was a friend of Jimmy and Faith Baker, formerly PTL. If you know Mr. Baker, I saw a documentary on Reverend Baker. He came. He's came back, and he's restored. His God has restored him. And he is winning souls for Jesus Christ. And I love that type of story. I love that Samson story of a comeback individual. And also, one more thing before I bring my guest on. I did not do any advertising. So I apologize. And I'm going to probably play this show again. And I would love to have Chad back on my show. Chad J. back on my show. And probably in the near future. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. Hey, brother.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right. I didn't know if the switchboard was going to let you bring me on or not. We know how tedious those things are sometimes, especially with...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, welcome to the show. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a lot to talk about today. And like I said, I apologize for not, because I didn't know who was going to be on the show. I mean, I sort of, the brother that has a website, it's called Shall We Should Be Marked, was going to be on. I was thinking he was going to be on, and another brother at my church was supposed to come on. But what happened was they were allotted for Sunday. So...
Right.
So I'm going to have three guests on Sunday. But welcome, man. I'm so good to have you on the show, man. And like I said, most of these guys that's coming on right now, I mean, we're going to probably have a national audience, somewhat national audience, and we're going to be warning the world for Jesus Christ, because we don't have too much time left. You know, even 20 years can go by fast.
the last 5 years of life has gone by in the blink of an eye. I mean, if you think about it, Look at what all we've endured over just 5 years. It's amazing. And I like the way that you describe your show on the homepage. You know, you're very aware of the things that are taking place, not only in the United States but all over the world, and you're warning the people as to what's coming, but at the same time, and I just, I had my guest canceled on my show just before I came on yours. I hosted on Freedomizer Radio, so I know how that is. But so I went on a wing and a prayer and just went ahead and did this show. But, you know, I felt, and I have felt for the past week or so, there needs to be more of a focus on the spiritual aspect of preparing for different things that are coming. You know, you can make all the earthly preparations in the world, but if you have not prepared yourself spiritually, then all your preparation is in vain.
That is true. I apologize. There's an airplane going over my house. I live
I live beside train tracks, so.
Well, brother, I would say tell us about yourself. I wish I could have you for both hours. I was going to probably, I was going to have one of you be on for both hours, but I got so greedy of having both of y'all here, I just couldn't resist. It's like a kid in a candy store. So if you could, let's let the Lord lead us into what we're going to go and talk about, because I noticed that the Lord's put on my heart the Middle East. I don't know if you actually, you pretty much want to, do you want to go in that direction? Or
it's fine. I'll go wherever you want to go.
Now, I noticed that Israel is having more hints of attacking Iran. What do you know about that?
I have said, you remember back last year with the elections in Iran and the outcry, the public outcry, and I'm not going to call it rioting in the streets because it wasn't rioting. It was people standing up and saying, you know, that there was corruption in government, and they were standing up against it. And I said back then that I feel that Israel and Iran are going to have a conflict. And a lot of people told me that I was absolutely nuts. And fast forward till, you know, the last few days with Iran firing off its missiles now and pretty long-range missiles, you know, to that's got me concerned quite a bit, more so than North Korea firing off a missile. I'll just say that.
That is true. What I noticed is that Israel has said that they will go it alone, regardless of what the United States is doing. Now, Barack Obama is showing more presence to go towards the Islamic nation, and he's showing favoritism for them. But I always said, this is what I always thought a long time ago, is that when the time of the end comes, the United States will somehow have a president that will not like Israel. And the proof is in the pudding. It's all over the place. Now, he's going to politically side with Israel unless he has another secret agenda that nobody knows himself, him and Santa Claus, or because him and God. But if he has something else that we're us in this in the know, maybe not examining good enough, then that's fine. But from what I say, he don't like Israel at all, and that's
go ahead.
And that's what it's bringing me to the conclusion. The end times is like a rubber band. If you pull a rubber band tight enough, if you keep pulling it, sooner or later it's going to pop. And I think we're at the popping stage. Now, the popping stage can be from 2011 or 2012, 13, 14. I know 2012 is a misnumber. I get everybody straight on that.
I was
going to
say, I'm so glad you went past the 2012 mark. That gives me hope.
It can't happen now. It's impossible because either the Bible's lying or the 2012 is lying. Now, I think it's going to, if you watch my videos, they're not the best videos yet, but they will be. You know, God will bless it. And sooner or later, I just kind of like toying with a new toy I got.
Right.
But if you listen to my videos, what I say is that it's impossible because the tribulation period is 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do your mathematics, it's impossible. Even my son, 7-year-old son, knows that 2012 is a misnumber already. It has to be.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway.
I do believe that there could I totally am not even going with the Mayan calendar. I will not bring anything like that into a discussion that I'm having because I just myself personally, I don't believe in any of it, you know. I will say this, that in the Jewish calendar, the year 2012 is a year for the blood moon. And I don't know if you're familiar with that happening, and it happens I'm trying to think of how many years it is right now, but the moon does turn blood red, and when that takes place in Israel, there is something that takes place that is catastrophic in the world. So 2012 is a blood moon year. Now, does that mean end of civilization and, you know, everything else? No. But I'm sure it could signify something. It could even be the start of something. But I'm not even going to speculate that far.
Yes, exactly. And the misnomer, what I'm saying is the end of the world. Just everything just wash up. You know, that's it. We're done, you know. But I believe that. I believe that, too, that it could be a start of something, like the tribulation period, a start of something major. It could even be a time when the Antichrist is at war. I mean, you just don't know what it's going to bring, but only God knows 100% what it is. And that's why it's so fun to discuss these things. So let's, what scenario do you draw upon? Now, Ezekiel 38:39, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that.
I'm familiar. I don't have a Bible in front of me, but yes, I'm familiar with it.
Okay, this is what I'm looking at, is a minor war between Israel and Hamas, which will culminate into a major war with Syria.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and there's lots of speculation. You actually have theologians that will differ on what actual country now is what country back then. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But anyway, absolutely. And I do believe that there will be the start. That will be the start. And what's going to happen is basically, I think, personally, the Israel going it alone will take place for a time, but then something's going to happen, and it's going to kick off a whole other scenario to where, in essence, in layman's terms, I'll call this the Chad James version. And it's not King James, it's Chad James. Chad James says that it's going to kick off a whole other scenario that is going to spearhead, everything else taking place. You know, a funny thing. And this is something I'm going to have to pace, so I'm going to have to stand up here. Okay. So there's a funny thing that a lot of people miss, and I don't know which version I'm going to go for. I've got one laying here on the counter that I was using earlier. I'm the type of person, I'll use any version of the Bible, so I don't stick with one. I use them all and pray and allow the Holy Spirit to lead me into the truth. So, you know, I don't disregard one over the other. I just take them all because, you know, there's a lot of people that get a lot of good out of reading or hearing a plain English translation, and they get an understanding more than a King James translation to where they don't understand. You understand what you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is. I want to read you something real quick here, and I'm going to find exactly where it is that I was going to start. Hold on just a second. I'm sorry. I won't even go there because I'll take up too much time. In the book of Revelation, it says that these things must quickly come to pass. Okay?
Yes.
And what a lot of people don't understand is, and there's a lot of unbelievers, there's a lot of those that mock scriptures and saying Well, you know, where's the promise of this? Because this has been happening for a long time. You know, we've had wars and rumors of wars. We've had all of these things, but something that when you actually get back to the original translation of Revelation, it says that these things, when once they start coming to pass, they will come to pass with force, is what the word means.
Yes.
And
yes.
What that means is once they start, they will not stop. So, yes, we've had wars and rumors of wars, and we've had tribulation and famine and pestilence and plagues, and, of course, earthquakes, especially the Haiti earthquake. I mean, my God, you know, I'm not really proud of the United States and the way they're handling that, but that's another story. You know, we've had all these things, but what has not happened yet is the culmination of everything. We have not been set into motion yet, the start of tribulation. And that's where a lot of people don't understand.
Yes, there's going to be a certain event that will trigger all of this. But it, the Word of God, and I'm not going to sit here and fuss about anything, but I'm not with you, but other people who believe that there is not a dispensation. And all people saying when they say there's a dispensation and the dispensations in the Bible is that God deals with different people at different times. And to say that Israel is the church and the church is Israel, to me, is ridiculous. The church was grafted into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when Jesus went to the cross. So
right.
Jesus brought both Jews and Gentiles together as one man or one group of people. So we have to distinguish the point of who is God dealing with in the tribulation period. Is he dealing with the Jews? Yes. Is he dealing with the church? No. And I'm pretty soon, I'm going to dismiss even the notion to argue that the word church is mentioned 19 times in the first three chapters of Revelation. And after chapter 6, it is no longer used with the word saint and the word elect is used. Now, if you put your common sense together, that would tell you that the first of all, that was Jesus saying the word church 19 times. So he's trying to tell you something. The church is not here. Now I don't know your views about the rapture of church, and that's fine. I haven't really researched that, and that's not a qualification for coming on my show, believing that there is or is not a rapture.
Right.
My thing is how do you know when those times are coming? Now, I believe there's going to be events before the rapture of the church. If you're a pre-trib rapture person, I believe there are going to be events before that happens, which make people think that there was no rapture. And then, boom, church is gone.
You know, I believed, it's really simple. The way I'll put it is really simple. Matthew chapter 24, if it's read in context, that is simple understanding for anybody out there that, you know, has questions or whatever. Like I say, pray and let the Holy Spirit lead you, you know, and that's the way it is. But Matthew chapter 24 tells you many things are going to happen before. And that's what a lot of the mainstream churches right now, all they're preaching is another gospel. They're preaching a lie. They're preaching the love of money, and they're pasting Christ on it. They're preaching an antichrist gospel, a gospel that is not able to save. You don't even hear a salvation message anymore in many mainstream churches because they've got to pad their pockets to stay on the air to raise more money, to pad their pockets to stay on the air to raise more money. It's a never-ending cycle.
Yes,
you
that
know?
Is true. That is true.
I have a lot of friends, especially working with, you know, Trinity Broadcasting. I worked in Hendersonville, Tennessee, and I had Paul Crouch personally lay hands on me and prophesy over me and tell me that there was a door opening. I do not doubt that the Spirit of God works in these people. I believe that there is a delusion that is there, and they have been blinded by the love of money.
The Laodicean, there was two churches that I noticed in the Revelation. The Laodicean church is that church, and he says, you're rich and you need of nothing. And I was like, what does he mean by that? And now I see and I understand that the richness is it's not just the prosperity movement. That's, he's talking about other issues too, but a lot of times we get caught up in our own life and we want more and more and more. But and he also addressed the Church of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And the Church of Philadelphia, he said, I will keep you out of the time of testing. Now, he said that you were rich, were weak. Now, he didn't mean weak because you got me. You're weak because you need me. And a lot of people, we need Jesus.
Absolutely.
And the Church of Philadelphia, that was kind of strange because I think the Church of Laodicea were walking through the tribulation period. So I believe to say that Jesus will give parables like the virgins, the 10 virgins, he would tell us to be ready for an hour that you think not. Now, if the tribulation is in progress, you would think so that he's coming sooner or later. I mean, there is even a time period. There is even he even gives a specific time. This is a 7-year period. At the end of the 7, we're gonna be thinking so that he's coming, not thinking not. And Matthew 24, the church was not even formed at that time until early part of Acts.
Right.
So if he was addressing the Jewish, the Jewish remnant at that time. And he said, if you go up on your rooftop, don't come down and take anything. And if it happens in the wintertime, saying that the time of Jacob's trouble will return. And the focus will be back to Israel instead of the church. The church is never addressed. I don't see anywhere in the Bible other than principles, basic principles of Christianity, the common salvation, the common things of salvation. That's the only thing I see that is addressed to the church on how to grow, how to be strong. And he used the Old Testament, you know, Joshua, be strong. You know, he uses the Old Testament and the New Testament to address the church so we can grow and be powerful and be effective for the kingdom of God. But he uses the rest of the tribulation period to warn people of this evil man that's supposed to come and take over the world and ask people to take a mark. He's not addressing the church in Revelation. Wouldn't he be addressing the church? Shouldn't he be coming to the church and say, if you know, you go underground, you know, do this, get your coat and your cloak and your dagger and move to each state. You know, he's protecting Israel.
Right.
He's protecting Israel. They go into Petra, and he hides them. The church is not sealed. So evidently the Church of Laodicea went into the tribulation period. The Church of Philadelphia were gone.
You know.
So they weren't a member of the church anyway, so that's why he doesn't address the church, because Philadelphia went to heaven while Laodicea went right into the tribulation period. And they're not going to know anything. Creflo Dollar, those dudes ain't going to know nothing. They just got to be busy making more money.
The thing that bothers me right now, I mean, it takes an utter fool to look around at the situation of the world and not know that we've got hard times ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? An utter fool. Yeah. And for mainstream Christianity, and you name Creflo Dollar, so I'll go with that one. You know, you have the mainstream Christianity preaching the bless me message so much that nothing's going to happen to God's chosen people. Look at apostles. Please tell me what type of life these people lived. You know,
well, a lot of those guys were, believe it or not, a lot of those men were. There's a wrath of God that's addressed big time in the Bible, and it never happened to Israel. The wrath of God never came on Israel until they decided to make a calf. When Moses went up to the mountain, he smoked them. So God does not smoke his own people unless they turn away from him. Now, the missionaries are killed by Satan. He allows it, but the missionaries are killed by Satan. That's the war that we face as Christians even today. If you were to get killed right now, would you say God allowed it, but Satan went up to the throne of God and said, "Hey, I want to kill Brother Chad. I want to kill this guy. He's got too much. He's reaching too many people. Let me get him." And God has said, "You know what? Well, things happen for a purpose, and God's purpose will be that Chad died. We don't know the purpose, but there's a greater purpose." Or Phil, let's use me. There's a greater purpose. So when people say that God is going to, you know, that the people of God is going to have to go through the tribulation period, I ask, the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And then all of a sudden, if you read the book of Joel or Zechariah, the day of the Lord is a day of gloom and doom, and it's for the wicked. So the cross has to be strong enough to keep us out of that time.
Absolutely. You're exactly right in saying that the day of the Lord can come as a thief in the night, but he also tells us to not be ignorant of the times and seasons that we're in.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because
yes,
that day should not come upon you as a thief. You should not be unaware. In other words, don't stick your head up in the clouds,
yeah.
and just go on with life and totally ignore all the signs of everything that is going on around you.
Yeah.
That's one of the major things right there that a lot of us do, especially, okay, you talk current events, correct? And talk about the, I assume, I'll say it like this, that you talk about socialist tendencies and things like that. I don't know how much you get into things like that as far as this country is concerned or whatever, but
yeah.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the times that we're in. And spiritual preparation is the number one thing, regardless of, I'll say it like this, and I say it all the time, rapture is just one issue that...
Yes.
It's just one issue of many. And as long as you're ready, that's all that really, truly matters. Because if you're ready, you're going to live like you're ready.
Yes, indeed. That is true. You're going to be living like you're ready. I'm pretty sure you heard about Al-Qaeda. And I guess this was like their one main message to the world. And either they're the biggest procrastinators of the world, or their strings are being pulled by somebody. A lot of people call them Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. the other network that I belong to calls them Al-Qaeda. So.
I've always believed this, and not always, because it's just been recent, but. The American citizen will be the next Al-Qaeda, and it seems like that's what they're leaning towards. And now that you hear Al-Qaeda, it's always sort of sometime linked to a, always and sometimes it's like an oxymoron, but a lot of times it's linked to American citizen. Every time they talk about Al-Qaeda, somewhere along the line they're going to get back to linking it to an American citizen. And it's kind of weird because they're now talking about Al-Qaeda supposed to be hitting a major city in a couple of months. Now, I'm pretty sure we heard this song before. What do you think about all this?
I have lived through many, many threats, not only with Al-Qaeda, but in conspiracy circles and things like that. I can say that Ahmed Dinajad's warning, uh-huh, I would not take it lightly, but at the same time, I don't. This is something I don't understand. The United Kingdom put themselves on the highest level of terror threat, the highest level that they've ever been on, and they're keeping themselves on that. That's something to look at, too, because they don't do that lightly. The thing that I don't understand in this country with the mainstream media is why they're not talking more about it. I mean, hey, you've got Congress and the Senate that have basically said, in 3 to 6 months, we're going to see an attack. Okay, that, I also believe that, you know as well as I do, the principalities, powers, rulers of wickedness in high places, those spirits that are leading the Antichrist spirit in the world have to have you in a constant state of fear.
Uh-huh.
And if you're in a constant state of fear, then you're easily able to be manipulated into whatever. Henceforth, Patriot Act, let's just say it like that. you know, the greatest power grab of our time and the greatest taking away of a lot of our liberties. Now, it took me a while to see those things, but I don't take it lightly, but at the same time, I'm told not to fear, and I refuse. I took 4 months off of Blog Talk Radio because I was in a lot of conspiracy circles, and I wanted to withdraw myself away from that. I want to present fact with truth, back it with proof, and leave it there. You know, we don't have to dig anymore for stories because they're right in front of your face. I mean,
I believe that too much conspiracy circles can affect a Christian big time. But I also believe that it's good to be able to understand geopolitics and the way things are going. But I think we need enough more of Christ in our system. And then that way he'll open up our eyes to see quicker, because it says in Proverbs, and I don't know exactly, but it says, I am smarter than my teachers because I read your word. Mm-hmm. And that is deep. And I noticed that a lot of times that when you have these type of shows, you lose a lot of people when you talk biblical or Bible. I can almost tell you when I was, and I apologize for the rant because you're the guest on the show, and I'm learning. I'm big time learning. I need to do more shows so I will get tired of talking. But I noticed I can look at the stream and I can tell you, because I can advertise, but I can almost tell you when names are going to start dropping off the list. I can tell you, well, just verbatim. And I do it on purpose because I'll start talking. I'll stare at the screen, the switchboard, or I'll stare at my news. And I can almost tell you before I look to the right what names dropped off. And it's sort of like the true gospel. Remember when Jesus asked those guys, he said, are you going to leave also? He asked his disciples, are you going to leave also? And people want to hear about conspiracy theories. They love all of that. They love the mark of the beast. And I was like that. I was like that. And now I'm so glad today that God loves me so much that I know he loves me, and I know that he's saving me for a purpose. And I can get off superficial and say he saved me for a purpose to talk to a million people, but I always believe that if I talk to one person, it might not be good enough because the next person is not headed in the right direction. But if I value one person, even Billy Graham, who, if you watch my video, I'm thinking he's losing his position. He needs to get back with Christ. And I know some people are going to be offended by hearing that, but go look at my last video on YouTube. And you understand why. But even him, back in his day, he said that, I go out and talk to millions of people, but it is you who comes in close contact with these individuals and preach the gospel. So I think that is very important, man, is to be able to preach the gospel to the individuals rather than to big, large quantities.
Absolutely. You know, you can look at the Truther movement, the Patriot movement, all with good intentions, but and there's a lot of Christians that are in the movement, but something that I learned, and this was brought to my attention by the Holy Spirit, is I got to say this as nice as I can, but at the same time as piercing as I can.
Okay.
It can become a cultic movement if you're not careful.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're caught up in the cult of conspiracy, even Christians, when you begin to talk about biblical prophecy, get turned off because you're not talking about the conspiracy of the day.
Yes.
And
exactly.
the conspiracy replaces Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is where the cultic. Now, I can tell you flat out. I was in it. I was in that movement so deep at one point last year. I've had hundreds of thousands of hits on YouTube videos. I did 400 shows last year on my blog talk. Do you see any archives from last year? No, because I pulled them all. Why? This is a very simple answer. Because I felt that a lot of the shows that I did will do more harm than good for someone that is just becoming aware of the things that are taking place, and it is going to lead them down a path that they don't need to go on.
Yeah,
so I removed over 100 YouTube videos. I removed all of my archives, and I'm starting fresh. And back to the basics, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. I have a ministry that I'm going to be doing. Actually, I was already there. It's actually there longer than the prophecy zone. It's called Common Salvation. Mm-hmm. And a lady had laid hands on me about a year and a half ago, saying that I would help a lot of young men and women who are bondage to addictions. And yes, you're right about the common salvation that you talked about. He says, I meant to write to y'all about this common salvation, but I was deterred. So I have to write to you about these guys like Benny Hinn. And of course, I'm paraphrasing it.
No, but, go ahead.
He went on to talk about a lot of that, you know, those preachers. And one guy jumped on me, one of the brothers. I like the guy. He jumped on me because I'm always kind of like sticking words in the Bible. Kind of like J. Vernon McGee, if you ever listen to him, he sticks things there. And it's not like I'm crutching. And then people get mad at you if you don't use the scripture and the verse. But what you got to realize is that in the olden days, they didn't have scripture and verse. They just had one big run-on. And I'm like, man, I'm telling you, you give me the scripture and the verse. Okay, I'm giving you the scripture and the verse, but don't get mad at me, because if you were back 200... you know, a couple hundred years ago, and somebody, you said, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but to me. Where is it? You got to tell me where it is, but I don't have to. The word of God is powerful still. It's going to knock you to your, it's strong enough to go into the bone and the marrow, you know. So people get a little bit bent out of shape, but, yeah, we have to stay with the common salvation, that simplicity. Let me ask you a question. You got to go?
Yeah, I only planned on 45 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. But I'm going to let you, I'll tell you, man, this is probably one of the days where you can catch me and I want to motor mouth. And then another day, I'll probably be quiet. And then the guests probably be like, why are you so quiet? Because I can tell in their tone they want me to keep dialogue. So once I dialogue, I talk too much. So it's like I'm just trying to figure out what to do. But I apologize to you because I didn't do any advertising, but I would like you to come on and actually talk and not say anything. But we'll still do dialogue, but I won't talk as much. But thank you so much, brother, for coming on the show. And God bless you so much, man. And I want you to come on pretty soon, though.
I will. I'll be in touch with you.
Thank you. God bless.
All right.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and take a little break, and then we will be back after these messages.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Talk about end-time prophecy and what God's saying will happen in His Word. tuned for another evening show. You're listening to the Prophecies on Blog Talk Radio.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone. What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left? See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, I'm back. That was crazy because I was looking for another commercial, and I do that every time. I'm going to have to start memorizing these commercials and things like that. But I'm going to attempt to let y'all hear my new, for the people who are out there, and hear my new theme song for my national radio or Eastern Washington radio program, hopefully one day national. I'm going to let y'all go ahead and listen to this. I'm going to have to try to turn it up. But it's darn good, so.
Truth. In the councils of Durham, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant. In a free and open society, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
During the summer, politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Okay, I hope y'all like that. That's my new song for the National Television Radio program. It's going to be going on in March. I'll be going on one station, and after that, in April, I'm going on many stations. So I kind of bore people sometimes and because I'm strictly talking about the Word of God. And I planned on never leaving that word. And I have to remember that in these times that we live in, is that people are expecting you to force feed them with entertainment. And the television is full of just that, entertainment. And if they can't go somewhere else and get entertainment, or the movies, or the circuit, or even your radio program to get entertainment, they're going to cut you off. Alex Jones and guys like that, believe it or not, they give facts, and they are warning the world. He's very effective, but a lot of times people come in to be entertained. Now, a lot of people are coming for the truth, maybe not the truth of the Bible, but they're coming for the truth of who really runs everything. And you can expect that. But me as an effective radio host need practice. And it's gonna be, I'm going to be sort of rusty, and I'm probably going to end up either saying too much or saying too little. But as far as the Word of God keeps you on course. Now, I'm not going to go out there and try to find someone who would love to listen to me tell you that you could get rich tomorrow. God wants us to be following him, poor, rich, middle class, black, white, Puerto Rican, green. It doesn't matter. Now, on this show, we're going to talk about conspiracies because you can't get away from that. That's like me trying to tell you. I mean, Jesus even went to the cross per conspiracy. One of the vehicles that got him there was Judas Iscariot. And he was one of the people that was responsible for Jesus. And if he had asked for forgiveness, Jesus would have been happy to give it to him, but he did not ask for forgiveness. So we're going to be going on the radio program here, and yes, I do hold back a lot because I'm trying to find myself as a host. I'm trying to have a level ground, a level head, and be able to say what I'm going to say without totally breaking someone down completely, because that's not my chief aim. My chief aim is to get people to Christ, and that should be all of our chief aim. But a lot of people become too conservative, and they let everybody mold them. I think what we should do always is make sure we keep the foundation of the cross, study, so God can reveal to us what is going on per Bible prophecy. And I am strong. I'm a strong advocate for the rapture of the church, because it's not an emergency escape. It's what the Bible teaches. And I'm not talking because some preacher taught me this. I'm not that type of person who would follow a preacher that he'll tell me, you know, is there a rapture or is there not a rapture. A lot of Christians are being spoon-fed their Christianity. I'm not going to be spoon-fed, but I do know the simple things, and the people will just say, yeah, you know what, man, you're right. The church is not mentioned, the word church, and it's very important because God has wrote the Bible with words. It's called the Word of God. Hey, that's how he communicates the word, by word. And whatever the culture that the Bible's written for, that's who it's written for, but it's still words. So he did not put the word rapture in the Bible, neither is the word Bible in the Bible, but it still exists. And I planned on advertising, but I kind of knew I would lose a lot of people. If you talk Bible too much, you're going to lose a lot of people, and I really don't care. I'm going on a Christian network, and that's my aim, is to go. Blog Talk Radio is not a Christian network. So you're going to lose people. If you're not talking about conspiracy theories, you're going to lose people. Now, if I start ranting about, you know, sending Billy Graham to hell or sending Benny Hinn to hell, then I'm in trouble. But if I tell you, here's the source, here's his voice, this is Benny Hinn saying this, or this is this person sending you, we need to alarm people about Joel Osteen, who said, I can't tell you if a person's going to. Yes, you can. We are judging. We can judge them by their fruits, not totally judge them and say you're going to hell. No, only God can make that ultimate judgment. But we know the course of the wicked, or else he would have never put it in there. We have to know what we're preaching for or against. We have to know that if we're going to say, you know, you need to get saved. Why? Why do I need to get saved? Because you can put that person back in, he can put you back into the category of you're judging me. Because society allows him to do that. So he uses this as a scapegoat to get out of a true walk with God. You're judging me. So when we start to say, well, your lifestyle is not going to get you to heaven, well, you're judging me. No, I'm just telling you, the lifestyle that you're leading will not get you to heaven. And then a lot of people think an alcoholic or a prostitute is going to blow hell wide open. But the true people that are blow hell wide open is the ones that is living a life and don't have any addiction. But see, they think that they see what happens is they'll pay a religious, the people who are almost don't have any addiction, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't do this, and they think they're okay. That's not true. If you don't put Jesus Christ first on and walk with him daily, it doesn't matter. You can't get up in the morning and forget God every day. And if some problem happened with your kid and you gotta, or something happens with somebody and you're not like, you know, God help me, or you're not leaning on God for anything, and then say, oh, well, that smoker or that alcoholic is going to hell. Now, I lost my train of thought because I can hear my kids in the background and I can't really hear them on the radio program when I play it back, very little. But I lost my train of thought. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I got about 33 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and just continue on. And the ministry, this ministry is going to be to warn the world of Jesus Christ's coming. It's not going to be now I'm going to have hosts, a guest, where I'm probably going to end up with tons of people in the chat room. But I'm not going to dance around and try to keep people entertained, because that's what the church world is doing right now, keeping people entertained. That's the problem. Now, should there be lack of people in the church seats? No, because I got about three. I got the Calvary Chapel, the Living Center, and the church I'm going to, Turning Point of the Open Door, which is all three are on fire for Christ in Spokane, Washington. So they are big churches. Now, are they mega churches? Probably not, but they're huge. They're very huge. The sister in the, Annetta from B, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, and you mind calling in? Because I want to talk to you. If you can call in, that'd be fine. We can shoot the breeze for the next 32 minutes. That would be awesome. I apologize. That's another thing I'm going to have to do is you just call in or see if you can call in. The number is 347-826-7088. If you can call in, that'd be fine. And a lot of times we're not going to be talking. See, the thing is with the Blog Talk Radio audience, I'm not going to be able to hold people in the chat room. I'm going to tell you that right now, unless I have a guest that's up their alley, because I really don't care. I really don't. I'm not too much of a fan of the chat room for some reason, but I like it because of people who want to just share the truth, too. But I've seen people, I've went on shows, and these people don't even have nothing to do with the word Bible or nothing. And these people would, in the chat room, would just say some of the meanest things. And I'm like, this is not even a Christian radio program. They still be mean to them. And I've had some mean people come in the chat room also. But, yeah, if you can call in, that'd be fine. I got 31 minutes. And trust me, I can cover the time by talking. I can always I'm a talker. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play a clip, and I'll be right back.
Igory Kalevich, to one of your previous lectures, you've mentioned that the United States could be actually disintegrating in the near future. You made such theories about 10 years ago when the United States was a flourishing state. What are you basing your theories on? In the light of today's crisis in the U.S., many people started talking about possible major changes in the country. But I expressed my concept back in September 1998 in Linz, Austria, at the Information War Conference. On the 9th of September, I produced a report with a very unusual ending. I kept the ending of my report secret from the other participants of the conference. A huge map of the United States appeared on a 40-meter screen. I pushed a button on my computer, and this map fell into 6 pieces. 400 people in the audience cried out in shock. Before the map fell apart, it had the disintegration of the USA in 2010 written on it. My statement got a huge response. But even to my surprise, many Americans and Europeans took my ideas very seriously. At the time, I emphasized the 3 main reasons which, in my opinion, could lead to the collapse of the US. The first one is the moral and psychological factor and the stress of the American population. The second one is the financial and economic problems. And the third one is the increase of anti-Americanism in the world.
Well, let's imagine the United States really start to fall out. How will this disintegration happen? And how many parts will the United States be divided then?
At that time, I expressed my concept. It would fall into 6 parts, and I backed it up with several factors. First of all, there were the ethnic, economic, and geographical factors. So we see a totally different ethnic group and ethnic interests. Texas and the Gulf of Mexico coast are a fuel and energy complex, the oil sector. California is Silicon Valley and high tech. Considering New York, Washington, and the Atlantic coast, they're all financial centers first of all. And the northern states of the US are basically the depressive states, which are close to Canada in their mentality and economic development. This is how I divide the...
Okay, I'm going to stop that right there. That's deep. And this ministry is going to be telling you about stuff that I really don't care about. A lot of the opinions that people have of what we should do or what we should not do, unless God tells me and says that Phil, he's right or she's right. I'm here to warn the world that God is coming back. I had a dream a while back, and I'm going to probably tell y'all that one day. And make a long story short, that dream is coming to fruition, that God's going to put me in front of millions of people to warn, and people might not like me. Now, I might seem a little bit nicer on Blog Talk Radio for certain reasons. I'll probably be nicer on a lot of the Christian radio program network that we're going on to reach over 42,000 people per hour in a span of 2.3 million people. And I don't want anything longer than an hour. I don't want any show longer than the hour nationally because I'm going to end up saying something. You give IMS too much time. You give an IMS or Russell Limbo too much time, they're going to cause a lot of problems. And I love talking about conspiracies, but that, like the Chad said, we got to keep them in the right perspective. And I love talking about patriots because this country is, well, I ain't going to say it. To me, it's framely a Christian nation. But it's no longer morally Christian, and that diminished a long time ago. It's a Christian nation, somewhat because we grew up that way. A lot of the Christians a lot of the baby boomers grew up in church, and they're no longer there. I think we should return everybody. I mean, sure, we should return back to our Christian heritage and return back to the church and return back to the Bible. That's the number one issue, return back to God. And in the tribulation period, millions of people will be saved. Millions of people will be saved, if not billions. And that's the beauty. I want some of that. If you were to say, well, man, I want to go and start a rap, you know, a rap, a secular rap business. I mean, I want some of that, man. Well, I want some of Jesus. I want to tell the world of Jesus. I'm hungry. I want to go. I want to talk to millions and millions of people. Matter of fact, I'm going on radio programs right now, radio channels right now, trying to get more, you know, out there, get this radio program out there. But I'm going to talk to a caller. Hello?
Hello. This is Antoinette.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. I was trying to get your name straight, and I butchered it. And every time I see you in the chat room, I know you're your name, but I just never said it out loud. And so when I'm sitting there and I'm trying to say it out loud, I'm like, wow, it didn't come out right.
That's so how's okay.
How's your day going?
It's, you know what, I can't really complain. It's, I'm in a lot of pain because I suffer with arthritis. And
oh, wow.
Where they're calling for this nor'easter here.
Yeah.
This blizzard, so.
Wow.
I'm feeling it before it even gets here.
Yes, yeah. That's weird. That's always been intriguing to me how that happened.
And the bones know it all.
Yeah.
Your body tells you.
Yes, yes, indeed. It's like God, it says in Romans chapter 8 about the world hollers for the redemption of the of men. And I guess it happens in reverse, too. Wow. Yeah.
Because I tell you, your body talks to you.
Yes,
I remember, you know, the old folks used to tell you when it was going to rain and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm a country girl, so I can tell when it's going to rain before the arthritis and everything. Was by looking at the trees, you know, looking at the leaves and stuff like that.
Yes,
you know, I was like, it's gonna rain.
Yes,
and people that are from the city, you know, they were looking at me like, no, it's not. I'm like, yes, it is. Look at the trees. You know, look at the leaves. You can tell a lot by the leaves. You know, watch the trees.
Yeah, yes, indeed. You used to be on a radio program, didn't you, on Blog Talk?
Yes, I was. I was a co-host to the Slugfest.
Oh, okay. Well, what happened?
Well, I said something that the host did not agree with. It was an opinion based on someone had asked me a question.
Uh-huh.
How did I view 9/11 from a Christian viewpoint?
Okay, what did you say?
And I said, well, it was prophesied in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at it as, I have been studying Bible prophecy for 20-some years.
Uh-huh.
That we were living in grand times, you know, because Jesus is coming back.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, yes, it hurt me, you know, the people that lost their lives. My next-door neighbor, they had family that worked at the Pentagon. I mean, not at the Pentagon, at the Trade Center. I have family that worked at the Pentagon. You know, I mean, fortunately, none of them were hurt. But my heart went out to anyone that lost their life during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still looking at the picture ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at what was coming, you know, what I had been studying since 1980.
Yeah.
And I was seeing it being fulfilled. And it was something that really showed that the scriptures were real.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it opened up new areas. It's like opening up the box and of time, and things change big time for American way of life.
It's nothing like how it was when I grew up. You know, I was born in the early '60s, very early. So, you know, I've seen a big change. And then I have three children, and each one of my children are 7 years apart. So it's like a different generation with each one.
Yeah.
And, you know, so with each one, it was just, wow, well, when they were teenagers, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. And, you know, so now I'm with my last one, and, you know, I was like, wow, I thought it would be easier with a girl.
Yeah.
You know, because my other two were boys, and it's like, wow, you know. And then, you know, come to find out, man, there's things that are going on that, Lord, they didn't do that stuff before. What in the world is wrong with these people?
I know. That's what I'm saying about my kid, my 7-year-old kid. To make a long story short, we don't have that much time, but he went down the street in a house for rent. Went into the house with his little buddy and grabbed the sprayer on the sink and sprayed the whole place up. And the lady that that's one of my managers, she comes and brings him back over to the house, and she's vouching for my son, right? And I'm like, well, she said, he's just a kid. And I'm like, you know what? I never did that. When I was a kid, I did some stupid stuff, and I even pointed it out to her. Here's what I can count on my one finger, what my mom probably can't even remember because she's 70 years old right now. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that there were a lot of bad kids back then, but we knew, like, the stuff that my son is doing, he would be concerned. And I've tried my best not to call my son bad to his face.
But he's not.
He's going
to
act it out.
You know what we fail to remember?
What's that?
I don't know how old you are, but I'm 48.
Yeah, okay. I'm 41.
So I remember the time when boys did things. And, you know, I mean, they would get in trouble and stuff like that. You know, they break windows and, you know, people live there. You know, but it was, well, that's a boy for you. You know, you expected it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and you bust up a high, but that was a boy for you.
Yeah.
You know, and if the boy was too good, then, you know, what's wrong with them? Oh, you better watch them. You better, you know, make a man out of them. They're too soft.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I said, you know, times have just really, really changed. I said, because kids used to do things and it was, okay, well, they're still a child. You know, they're still learning. Now, you want to put children in jail.
Yeah.
And you want to put them in jail for life. You know, we have kids that are under age 18 that are in jail for life sentences.
I know, man.
And in adult penitentiaries.
That'd be a good time to figure out that Jesus is coming back pretty soon.
Yes. You know, for them, that is really, time to really examine. And, you know, from the scriptures, we know that everyone is going to hear about Christ before the end.
Yeah,
going to have a chance to repent.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, sister, how much time do you have?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm good.
You think you can go? Where are you at? Where are you located?
In Delaware.
Oh, you're on the East Coast, though.
You
think you have enough time for 30 more minutes?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, I'm extending the show for 30 more minutes.
Well, you know, if you go over, it's okay as long as you after an hour, it automatically cuts you off.
Oh, after an hour additional?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because
You can go up to an hour. It's just
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's just that anyone that comes in afterwards, now they can go in the chat room, but they won't be able to hear what's being said. They'll be able to hear it in the archives.
Oh, okay. Well,
but if you extend it, then you still get that half an hour where anyone that comes in, they can also go. They can also come on the line or, you know, to still be a part of the conversation and everything.
Okay, that's fine. Well, when I decide.
And you do. You have Patriot Greg here.
Yeah, I do. If you want to come on, you can even come on, sir. That'd be, because I know who he is. I even invited. I didn't get back to him yet to tell him what time he's going to be on my show. But that, if you want to, you can even come on in and interject. But I wanted to ask you a couple questions. What do you see as far as the Bible prophecy? Pretty easy question, but
as far as right now.
Yeah,
what's going on now in the world?
Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to go, whatever direction the Lord leads you, just go ahead.
What I see is, honestly and truly, that we're at the time where, you know, they used to say we're in the final hour, and I believe now we're down to minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that at any moment, but there's still, I believe, one not been fulfilled yet.
What's that?
And now I'm trying to remember. It's I know one is the treaty with Israel.
Yeah, yeah. Now the phone number for the guests is 347-826-7088. So if you feel like calling in, that's fine. Patriot Greg. That is going to be the main thing that starts it all, is a peace treaty. Now because the Antichrist comes to confirm a covenant, that means to strengthen a covenant that's already there.
But so
it could be a false treaty at first, like from Obama.
Which it will be. It will be a false treaty because they're not going to hold up their end of it. You know, it's going to be a trickery. And you see where they're all interested in Jerusalem.
Yes.
They're all trying to claim Jerusalem. But when they keep going and trying to split into Israel, that's where they're going to have, you know, the problems is going to come in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like now we're living in the days of Daniel, you know, where the scripture says how the days that it was, the scriptures were closed until, you know, the day.
Yes.
Which is this day.
Yes.
That now that they have been, you know, they've been open, you know, the seal's been open. You're able to go in and you're able to get discernment of what's going on.
Exactly. How many on your last the show you was on? How many callers were able to be in on at the same time?
Oh, now
because I'm kind of wondering about
15,
that.
15, 14, 15, maybe more.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many callers are able to be brought on at the same time? Maybe two or three.
No, you can open it. You can open up everyone's line at the same time if you want.
Oh, so we'd be all arguing and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
And but that's true. But then, see, you can also mute people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. My going to be here in Spokane is going to be a lot different from my blog talk show. I'm probably going to be the less ums, and I'm probably going to be saying what I'm going to say really quickly because it's 30-minute show. So about time you – because that first time – when you first came on, I mean, heck, we were almost – the time sucked off that quick. And if we were talking, it's like, wow, what am I going to do for a 30-minute show? And one of the brothers was like – he was telling me yesterday, he was saying, a 30-minute show is a lot more – troubling than a 3-hour show because you can't really get anything out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
you have to try to condense it all in the 30 minutes and to keep everyone's attention. What I can suggest to you is you take what's going on in the news and try to use it according to scripture.
Yes.
And
then
also having, you know, your own layout of what it is that you want to discuss.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to go ahead and bring on, hopefully, is that you, Pastor? Excuse me, I forgot him, Pastor. Is that you, Preacher Greg, on the line? You can speak it in the chat room if you can. Because I've been, now I know what 1111111 means. Cause I have this number.
That means it's a blocked number. They blocked your number.
Oh, okay. So I want to find out if that's his or not, because mine is the same. Yes, it's mine. Okay.
Yes, it's him.
I'm going to go ahead and bring you on.
Yeah, 111 is usually a Skype caller or it's a blocked number.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Hello, this is Patriot Greg.
Hello, Patriot Greg. This is Antoinette. How are you?
Good. How are you, Antoinette? I'm also on the east side, so I'm also on the east side in New Jersey.
Oh, so you're getting ready for this storm, too?
Oh, yeah. That's what we need. We need a little global warming here.
we can stand it, but, you know, at least we're not in, I think it's Minnesota. Where they said their winters is 60 below zero.
Wow.
So I said, oh, my. So if it's 30 below or even zero, then they're probably ready to put on the shorts and stuff like that. They probably come over here and be like, oh, this isn't winter. We don't know anything about being cold.
You know, I believe God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because for the last, what, 6, 7, 8 years, this guy Al Gore has been pushing his global warming crazy idea, and
yeah.
He has made tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars out of it. He got a Nobel Prize for it, and God is telling him, you think you're right? Let me tell you who is right.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
You have caused, he said, you have caused so much trouble, so much pain, so much suffering, so many unnecessary expenses, so much anxiety in people, and I will show you who is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Yes,
yes.
Indeed. And he is, that's exactly what he's doing too. And
yeah.
And the funny thing about it is, if you read in the tribulation period, I can't remember what chapter it is, but it's a later chapter that the sun, it seemed like it's having a supernova thing where the sun gets hotter, and then it says man will not repent even when that's happening. So if you talk, then it's like God is being funny. It's like he's really so okay, you think it's going to be global warmer? We're here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
here
exactly. When God created heaven and earth and the sun, God created the sun to have its normal cycles every so many years. That's God's creation. It's not man's invention.
That's right.
Yes.
Unfortunately, politicians today have managed to take advantage of the scientific knowledge and blame humanity for what actually God has set in motion ever since he created the sun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would financial and political gain in mind, and that is wrong. It's wrong, and God is showing him, listen, we went through a global warming, now we're going to start a global cooling, whether you like it or not. So whether your science is correct or not, I set the sun to go according to my plan, to my will. So get out of the way, shut up, and just, you know, take care of your things, your business, and let the people, take care of their lives. But don't try to blame people and countries for something that I set up in motion since the beginning of time.
Yes, indeed.
That's right.
We're going to take
a pause. And also, some things that was just the government's fault, you know, which we know that the government is ran by Satan. You know,
yes,
because remember, he offered that to Jesus. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, because they were given to him. So we know that the governments, which is the kingdoms, are ran by Satan. So when they come in and they're cutting down all these trees and everything else, and they're going up into the, you know, up in the where the moon and all that stuff is, God did not promise the Now, I know the word for it. What is it? Where the moon and everything is, the upper atmosphere. I can't think of the word for it, and I know it. But God gave the earth to the man. You know, God said the earth he gave to man. He didn't give us the moon and, you know, where the stars and everything else is. But the earth we were to have dominion over.
Yeah, he just gave us that for light, and you know, to keep us warm as far as the sun is concerned. But other than that, he wanted us to subdue the earth, you know, and multiply and
kill it.
Yeah, and then that is true. That is so true. And Al Gore is just, believe it or not, as rich as he is, some people seem to leave this out, but he's still a puppet.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
And the globalists is using him as a puppet because they have an agenda. But once they get done with you, that's it for you, and we're going to go move on to someone else. But
their agenda is to keep your eyes closed. How the Bible says my people were blinded?
Yeah.
And the scales had to be taken off their eyes so they could see. They were hearing without hearing.
Yes.
Because you hear everything else and you see everything else. But you're not able to have discernment to really see where it's going. Just like with the conspiracy theories. Now, you can take it and run with it the wrong way, or you can really sit and take it and apply it to the Bible and see how, I see how this is going to happen.
Yes, yes. And like I was saying earlier, it says in Psalms, he says, in Psalms 119, it says, and you've made me brighter than my teachers. And when you read the Word of God, and if you keep that foundation, that foundation that the Word of God is built on, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior of me, and He died for me, and you keep it simple, and once you start reading about Bible prophecy and these other things, you won't let it conquer you because you're being led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Now, if you're not led by the Spirit, you're going to go off on a tantrum and end up in the wrong place.
Yes, and then you'll also become fearful. You'll lack faith.
And it's just like getting into a boat. And you're headed here, but you kind of let the boat take you where you wanted to go. When you think you wanted to go, and it's heading towards here, but if you look at the gauges on the boat, if you go off just a foot all the way down for a couple miles, you're gonna end up somewhere else you don't want to be. And the basics of Christianity needs to stay intact. And a lot of these preachers that go to college, I went to the University of Cambridge where I learned theology of Christianity, and what they fail to realize is that the basics of the foundation, your foundation is screwed up, son. So if your foundation is messed up, what did it say? What did Jesus say? It says, build his house upon the sand. Your foundation was beat up, listening to all these theologians, and you didn't maintain the basics of Christianity.
Well, you know what has happened is, see, we're so busy feeding this dust, because our body is nothing but a vehicle. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit that we are is dwelling in this vehicle while we're walking around on this earth.
Yes.
And we're so busy worried about feeding the flesh and taking care of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to leave behind anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of feeding the spirit.
Uh-huh. And guess who? You're talking to the choir right now. That is true. I've learned this, and I learned this big time, is that the broadcaster is not always right. And I think we live in a world where we think, like, for instance, if we're watching Oprah Winfrey. I was watching Oprah Winfrey on a video, and I like Oprah Winfrey. Matter of fact, I missed the show today because I normally don't watch her at all.
I don't watch her.
I think she has her own gospel. But anyway.
Well, she's in the Scientology, and do you know where Scientology originated from?
Where?
The man who started Scientology was once a Satan worshiper. He was a general.
Yes.
Now, if memory serves me correctly.
Uh-huh.
So then he started this Scientology movement.
Uh-huh.
Well, why are you going to worship the stones or whatever it is that they use, these crystals? How are you going to worship what God has made? How are you going to worship something that the Creator made and make it higher than the Creator?
Well, Oprah is pretty sure that there is no God. If you watch the video, some of the videos and on YouTube, and some YouTube videos. As a matter of fact, as I speak, I have a I'm hooked up to live stream, and I'm probably going to be hooked up to my stream, and you probably can't really watch it because I don't know anything. I'm just trying to record it. But later on, the persons that listen to this show on Blog Talk Radio is going to be able to go on to another website, and then they're going to be able to watch. Like if I'm talking about Oprah right now, I'll be able to push the button, and then they'll be watching that while everybody in Blog Talk can't hear it. But I'll be playing Oprah as she says the magic words. How do you know that there's another God? Your God might be something else, and her God might be something else. And I'm like, lady. And those ladies, the ladies on those videos were shutting her down. And she knew it. She said, I don't want to get into a religious conversation. It's not a religious conversation, Oprah. You need Jesus. Without Jesus, you can't go to heaven. And that's correct. See, I don't care how much money you got.
But that's the foundation that, you know, as much as people don't want to admit to it, they don't want to stand on it, you know, because of slavery and everything else, but that was still the foundation that this country was built on.
Yes. Yes.
Now, they may have messed up, you know, where they were confusing the scriptures and taking it their way for their own purpose, but that still doesn't change God's word.
Exactly. Exactly. Patriot Greg, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, definitely people have neglected to take God's word for what it is, God's word.
Yeah.
We are living in a culture in which everything that is good and right and holy is neglected, is put aside. It's even called bad. They call bad things good and good things bad.
Yeah.
And it's not a surprise. The Bible foretold it, and it was going to happen in the end times. So it's nothing that surprises us who read the Bible and pray and meditate and study the Bible. But unfortunately, we are surrounded by forces of evil that are working even amongst our own friends, sometimes even in our own relatives.
Yeah, and through our children.
Yeah,
through our children.
I mean, I have grown children. I have grown children, I have a teenager. So
I am in the same situation. I have 4 grown-up children and 1 teenager.
Yeah,
I
got
2 grown-ups
and 1 teenager.
Well, they said the Bible said that the enemies would be of your own household.
Yes.
And speaking of that, Obama's passing laws that make it so you squeal on your neighbor. At least he's covered that part, but they already covered the divorce of the parents part, where they allow the kid to divorce the parent. I remember I just got to telling you about my kid, and my neighbor comes by, and she's like, "Well, and I understand they need the kid, but I think that a lot of that time, and I'm not trying to go off on the deep end on you, you know, but I told my wife it might be the water because we need bottled water because that lead, all that lead, everybody gets headaches around here. It's like my wife, I have a headache, and then a couple of days later, my son, I have a headache, and my daughter, I have a headache.
Well,
I say, you know what? We're going to have to start doing bottled water. That's what we're going to have to start doing.
Well, that's all I drink, and that's all my kids drink. But
yeah.
I don't mean to cut across you, but let me tell you something.
No, that's fine.
Now, I'm from Hockessin, Delaware.
Uh-huh.
And you know that's where Vice President Biden is from.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, Hockessin is not a big place. You know, it's bigger now because, you know, times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be a town.
Yeah.
Now, would you believe that out of this town, Biden had an abrupt brain aneurysm? My grandmother had brain aneurysms. I have had brain aneurysms.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yes, yes, yes.
And then it's been people that have died from brain cancer that were from Hockessin.
Wow. Well, the objective of the globalists is to kill. So that's what you call slow death.
Mm-hmm.
It's feeding us the wrong foods. And the thing is that we love to eat anyway. You never hear any preachers preaching against food as a device like alcohol. And people,
yes,
I mean, to me,
yes,
I
do,
think.
Because they talk about gluttony.
Well, they do talk about gluttony, but very sparingly because a lot of preachers like to eat. So,
yeah, they like to eat, especially at the service. I mean, because after you feed the spirit, you know, the flesh gets hungry.
Yes, exactly. And it's legal. There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with eating at all. But I think, I'm going to tell you this, brother and sister. I'm going to tell you this. Right now, I'm running, you know, God has given me the platform right now, and I'm so happy. I'm so joyful. I'm going to use that correct word, joyful, in the Lord. But here's the deal with the food, okay? When I eat right, I have energy to run the ministry five times over. When I'm eating wrong, I'm like drained. And the end times, in this end times that we're living in, I think it's important that we eat correctly. I mean, we can eat some junk food, especially during the Super Bowl. We can eat some food and stuff. You know, that's fine. Whatever party that you're going to go to.
Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah. But I think it's important for us to eat right because we need all the energy we can get to spread this gospel out to the kingdom of the world and to live and get up and pray. I mean,
the time that's coming. You know, have a preparation, and I don't know what God has put in anyone's spirit.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can only speak of what God has been putting into my spirit for about 2 years about starting a stockpile.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when every famine, before the famine hit, God will put it in people's spirits to start stockpiling.
Yes.
And there are some things that... You know, I was like, wow, I was lazy on, you know, I really should have did this, and I didn't do it. And now you hear about all the tainted seeds and what they're doing, you know, through the conspiracy theories. But when you compare it to the Bible where it talks about people starving, and you can starve off of food that's not good for you.
Well, let me clarify this conspiracy theory thing because I want to get
I'm not saying it against what you're saying. I'm saying is how I use it for biblical, you know,
you're correct.
To compare to the scriptures.
You're correct, ma'am. You're correct, sister. Compared to the scriptures here's the way I look at 9/11, and I'm going to say this real quick. I was a Christian at the time, and I'm going to tell you, sister, without any investigation, and you're going to think I'm crazy when I say it, because I used to study it a long time before 9/11. But I knew right away what was going on, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
When you're sitting there, because I was in the gym, I was on a Marshall's compound, and we had a big old weight room, and I was in the Army, and we were deployed. And I was just telling a group of people, it's like 10 people around me, and I said, well, this might happen to the United States. And I got it from Alex Jones, true, but the Holy Spirit had to lead me to say it because I just told them that to build. There's a chance that, and I heard this from Alex Jones, so don't think I was
prophetic. Yeah, I mean, and I think I've heard too, where the bombs underneath.
Well, no. It was before all of that. Because they had an episode in the X-Files of buildings being brought down by jetliners. So I was just telling them the thing that would open up the Pandora's box is a possible terrorist attack. And surely be it, 5 minutes later, gather around, everybody. The Twin Towers have been brought down. Their mouths dropped. Their mouths literally dropped. So when we got back to the compound, because we was at work at that time, when we got back to the compound, I was watching the TV screen. I said, man, this is full of crap. Because they had Obama. Oh, wow. I'm calling Osama.
Yeah, Bush.
Oh, goodness. They had Osama bin Laden on the TV screen immediately. That's mm-hmm. how I knew this was a conspiracy already.
Yeah.
Now, the word conspiracy is not a bad mystical word, actually.
No, it's not.
It's two or three people gathering together to conspire to throw a surprise birthday party.
Yeah.
Or to buy your son a car.
Yeah.
You can conspire in a good way, and it's a bad
mm-hmm.
way to conspire. So when Jesus went to the cross because some people were conspiring against him, you know, he knew it was going to happen. He said,
mm-hmm.
this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here.
Yeah.
So when somebody says a conspiracy theory, after two pieces of evidence, it is no longer conspiracy.
It is
now truth. For instance,
yeah.
19 hijackers, I mean, come on. 19, so you want to tell me all those planes can be out in the sky without a jet plane getting up there, blowing them out of the sky. If you do the mathematics, you're going to say 200 people on a plane or 3,000 people in the building. You don't even know the number of people in the building anyway. So 2,000 people in the plane, I'm sorry, 200 people in the plane or 40,000 people. Who do you pick? Okay, I'm going to blow the plane out the sky. Okay,
yeah.
They know by radar those planes were out of sight, out of mind. They were off course for a while.
Yeah.
So why don't you get jet airplanes to fly up there? Because they were told to stand down.
Yeah.
Now, for me to talk about this as a Bible, as a Bible believer, I have to come and say, okay, these are the last days. First of all, you don't even have to explain 9/11 because you know that something has to open up the Pandora's box.
Yes, it does.
That day, and I'm not saying it's in the Bible, the ninth, you know, the 11th of 2001.
I can tell you. It doesn't say 2001. But
yes.
Now, I can't remember exactly where it is. Now, maybe somebody else can. But it talks about how the eagle hits the mountains. And
I know the two towers
they
will fall.
Say that they
somewhere.
Are doing it out of love for their God. And that's where they start to praise their God. And I said, now, when you look at when they were getting these revelations, what could they explain a high building as? You know, they never seen a building, you know, a high building like that. So to them, it's a mountain. You know, the only thing they seen flying were birds. So they had to take a big bird, an eagle. You know, I said, you know, you know, and I said, even with revelations, and I'm not saying that this is what it is because I don't know.
Yeah.
But when they talk about the things coming out of the sea and, you know, spitting fire and everything else, I said, well, could that be the submarines?
Could be.
Because what could they compare it with? You can only compare it with what you knew.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to describe it. And they had to use what, you know, that was in their environment at that time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say an airplane if you've never seen an airplane.
Yeah.
You know, you see an airplane, but you don't know what it's called.
Yeah, that's true. There is a time where you sort of, you can look at that in many, many ways, and it's in the Bible. I mean, just the fact that you knew that men would be doing this in the last days anyway. You know that men would be evil and wax
mm-hmm.
worse. But it's 1948 was the time when the Pandora's box truly opened. Actually, 1947 because of the decree to restore Israel back as a nation. Happened
mm-hmm.
then, and then in 1948, that generation time clock began to run. What do you think about that, Patrick, Greg?
Well, I do believe that there are certain prophetic events that are taking place in our time which are specific. The one that you have just mentioned, the rebirth of Israel, it has been prophesied, and it happened. So these are provable prophecies that have become true and continue to become true. I would be careful a little bit in speculating too much about other things that are happening in the world and trying to force them into biblical prophecies, because this is what a lot of people, writers and movie makers are doing in trying to take advantage of people's ignorance and of people's fear in order to make money. All those movies, all those books that are being written about how the biblical prophecies are being fulfilled in the earthquake in China, or the tsunami, or the Katrina, or the attack on the towers, all those things. It's all done only to capitalize on people's fear and on people's ignorance and on people's uncertainty. And it is wrong. What we have to try to stick to the Word of God, which is the Bible, and not to add to it, and neither to subtract from it. And to be very careful about the schemes of the devil, who will do whatever he can to distract us from the Word of God, to make us believe that God is responsible for certain things that it makes no sense. Some people say that Katrina was God's punishment for the sins of New Orleans, and that the Twin Towers was the punishment of God for America's sinfulness and things like that. And I don't believe that. I believe that the judgment of God is still to come. The wrath of God is yet to come.
Yeah.
What we are seeing are not acts of God, are just consequences of the sinful nature of mankind.
Yeah.
It's not. We cannot blame God on our own sinful nature, and we cannot pass to God our responsibility for choosing to turn our back on God and to live a sinful and abominable life.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, that's
indeed.
True.
And you put that in an awesome, awesome way.
Yes,
and that's
did.
What I need. I need the I need someone like you to keep me on track myself, because
Look,
I believe the same thing. I believe the same thing. And what I believe today is what I told you earlier about the foundation and that common salvation that Paul warned about. And then notice throughout the New Testament, he's warned us to keep that simplicity of Christ, to keep it. To keep that simplicity. And we can tend to leave that if we go out and study. And I love studying other things. But the thing is, the devil would love me to study to get me diverted, especially if my ministry start talking about the mark of the beast too much, or the one world government, which if you hear my theme song, you hear me talk about all of that stuff, but I have to put it in perspective. And the next, I'm going to make two more. He's going to make two more theme songs. Another guy's going to make it with a deeper voice than me. And I'm going to make some of those things, sons, go with, we are here to tell you about this, you know, that Jesus Christ wants to walk, you know, live in your heart and lead you by the Spirit in these last days, not by the pocketbook,
brother,
or not by the hormones or nothing like that.
Brother, how many verses, if there are verses, are dedicated to the mark of the beast? I believe there is only one verse.
One, exactly.
And that's enough. That should be enough. If God considered that enough information, that should be enough for us. Now, I'm going to ask you this. How many books, perhaps hundreds of books, have been written about the mark of the beast?
Uh-huh.
Why? And it's all man's invention, speculation, capitalizing on people's fear, on people's ignorance and lack of understanding of what the Bible says. The Bible dedicates one verse to the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
And we have dedicated millions of dollars, hundreds of books, hundreds of hours of reading, which is taken away from reading and studying
the Word,
the Bible, the true Word, you know. So we see that Satan is working very hard, and today more than ever, now that we have the internet, we have the so much technology, the cell phones and the movies and all these things. The devil is working as hard as he can to distract us from the Word of God. And we must not allow it to happen, because
and
we
then,
know what his purpose is.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that Jesus talked about more than he talked a lot more about hell than he did about heaven. And that's because he didn't want anybody to go there.
Right.
And right now I'm going through a thing in my life where I go to school, and I God is building something inside of me where my wife says, "Well, are you supposed to feel like that?" Well, yes, I do. I'm enjoying it, because when I cry for the nation and for the sins for that we've brought against God, I'm not even crying. It's that too. But it's mostly when I go to school and I'm around so many young kids and so many older people and all kinds of shapes and sizes and colors and races. My heart goes out. Yeah, my heart goes out to these people. And he's put that on my heart just recently about that. And a lot of people, and the beauty of the thing is that the word, if we forget that, we forget this. That the Word of God says that billions of people, John couldn't count the number of people.
Yeah.
And I want to be a part of that.
You put it in such a nice way. Jesus preached twice more about hell than about heaven.
Yeah.
And what is happening today? What are the preachers preaching today? They
about
only preach
heaven.
About heaven. Everybody's going to heaven one way or the other. It's not the only way. One way or the other, everybody's going to heaven. Hell doesn't even exist. Hell is a figment of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to heaven. Come to my church and put your money in the offering plate and listen to my messages. I will give you hope. I will give you something so that you will feel good without necessarily having to be good.
Yeah, because everyone doesn't want to talk about God also has an awesome wrath.
Exactly. They talk about beauty and love, and God is love,
goodness,
God is
yes.
mercy and grace, but they never, never dare to mention that God is also justice.
Yes.
Divine
and
justice.
And he's a jealous God.
A jealous God. And God will unleash his wrath on earth. And
yes.
it's not going to be a little hurricane here or a little earthquake there.
No,
it's going to shake the whole planet in a way that has never been before and never will be afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the key, and what people fail to realize too, and what I'm starting to realize too, and I failed to realize it for so long, is not only will the judgments affect you of big boulders and rocks and meteors and and scorpions flying around. I mean, all of that stuff, if you believe it literally, all the judgment, the Antichrist, the armies coming for you because if you don't take the mark, not only is that stuff going to get to you, but the feeling of loneliness, rejection from your family members and from people that you, because we've been, the last 20, 30 years, we've been kumbaya, all is well in America, and even people filed in, you're sitting in a line, why you jump in front of me for, or run me off the road back there,
I have a personal testimony about it.
Go ahead.
I was born in and raised in a communist country, in a system of government which I am very much afraid that is coming to America.
Uh-huh.
But the point is that it's a system of government in which I was suspicious of my own family, of my mother, of my father, of my brother and sister. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was taught in school to watch out, to listen to what they're saying and what they're doing, and if they say or do something that is against the system, that I should denounce them to the authorities. And in the same way, I had to be very careful of what I was saying or doing, because I could have been denounced any time for saying or doing something that may have been suspicious to the system, to the government. And that is the way in which families were raised under communist society. I was raised that way, with the indoctrination against my own blood, against my own family.
Yes.
And that is, I'm afraid, is coming to America. If we look at how fast the size of this government is growing, Barack Obama is banging his chest that he has created 2 million jobs in the government.
Right.
Well, the bigger the government is, the more agents Obama is going to have in order to keep an eye on free loving, God loving, patriotic Americans. And that is what is growing. That is what we see in the schools, our children being indoctrinated, and even denounce the parents if they abuse them, because spanking today is considered abuse. Sending the kid to the room is considered abuse, and parents may pay legal consequences for abusing their own children. This society is becoming unbearable, because children will not be able to live with their parents, and parents will not be able to live with their own children.
Seeing that what the Bible says, that mother would turn against daughter, daughter against mother.
Yep.
No, I mean it, but it's what they're building it up to be. You turn against them. You know, there is no middle ground. They're taking the authority away from the parents to parent their children.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And then that gives them, you know, when the children get out of line because they're not being disciplined at home, then they're in the court system, then they're in the criminal system, you know, where, okay, now y'all have them in your hands, and y'all are telling them what to do and what not to do while you're indoctrinating them with everything that is against God. Look at the things they're putting in schools now, you know, the homosexuality and everything else, you know, all these alternative lifestyles.
Yeah.
Terrible.
You know, whereas if somebody chooses to be gay, you know, okay, that's your choice, but you don't have to bring it to the school where you're trying to turn my child that way too.
Yes, indeed.
To open their mind to it.
Yes, indeed. We are the last generation.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to have final words, okay?
Okay.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, in the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I decided to take a shorter break than normal. So we're gonna go off a little bit here in about a minute, and then we can continue talking until further notice. I enjoy having y'all on here. Y'all make a good combination.
You've been having a fantastic show. Very.
And
it's needed. I really commend you.
Yeah, this is the type of shows that are needed today, because people need to hear the Word of God, need to hear the truth of the Word of God, not the lies that our culture, our society is spreading.
Yes, indeed. And God has been good to me, and it's been good to everybody here. I would like to have y'all on the, I don't know how I would do that, but I'm pretty sure the Lord is leading me to something here. But as far as Blog Talk Radio, as long as I can get these people on the eastern part of Washington to zero in on a three-hour show, that'd be fine. But the Lord is I there's no vision or nothing. Really quick, there was no vision or nothing, like a real type of vision when I'm standing up there and a beast comes out of the sea. But I've always thought that I would at least speak to a million people, and it really doesn't matter. It's actually the individual that's important, because when I was in Hawaii, and I enjoyed talking to the individuals about Jesus Christ more than I would a whole bunch of people. So what I plan on doing now is going on down to the shelter or whenever I'm outside or at school to talk to those individuals. Don't wait. Just because I got a radio program doesn't mean I can't talk to somebody sitting next to me who might be going to hell. I mean, why not give them the gospel?
That's the opportunity that God has given. Because, see, God knows who to send to who at what time. We don't always know why, you know, sometimes it's, you may have plans to do something, but then while you're out doing something, you know, it's just, well, I need to go and do this, but we don't know why we're going to do this, but God has something else lined up, and we ran across someone that needed a word, but God already had it lined up. You know, someone was praying for them, and we was just on that receiving end that God used to work through for that prayer, for that other person that they used for that person, because God will use whosoever.
Yes, indeed.
You know, it is good when you can be the whosoever.
Yes, indeed. That is true. Let me go off right quick, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't even bother to. I think we lost Patriot Greg. You still there?
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, he's gone. I think he took off.
Oh, Patriot Greg. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm still on.
Oh, good.
Okay, I understand y'all on the East Coast, so I'm going to let. We can talk for about 15 more minutes. Y'all got to go to work tomorrow or something?
No, I'm all right.
Okay.
Okay. I'm really just blessed to have y'all two on here today. I mean, it's a blessing when you can actually have a flow. And some days I can talk a lot, and then other days I don't say anything. And I think I'm trying to fill the people out that comes on my show, but I can't do that because they're different people. You know, I got to look at it that way. And one guy was looking for me to have dialogue, but we need to communicate before the show, and it doesn't do any good if you poorly plan a show. This one is another show that God has blessed. Sometimes when I go into something and I just like, God, just show me what you're going to do, it turns out pretty good.
Yeah, because then you allow him to do it. It's him and it's not you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'm a strong advocate of the Constitution. I want to get y'all take on this, though, and y'all can disagree. That's fine. I look at this country as a country that was, and y'all can disagree with me, I'm fine, that was a Christian nation, still is, as far as God is not done with us yet. I think it's a backslidden nation to me.
I agree with that.
With the prospects of coming back in the tribulation period, God is going to use this nation, even if it's broken apart completely and split into two down the middle. But he's going to use this nation mightily still. I don't believe that if you wear a shirt that says, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. So when somebody says, the Constitution says that this and this and this. Well, that's fine, and I believe that this nation is a Christian nation to a point where the Constitution and the foundation and all this stuff is still there. But a lot of Christians, what the Bible says, some shall depart from the faith, and that's a nationwide movement. Look at the prosperity movement. Look at the faith movement.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these churches saying that Jesus only. I mean, look at the all of these churches that are coming out saying. I've heard some crazy stuff. You know,
I have too. I have.
I'm sure you didn't hear them all.
Yeah.
No, not all of them, but I'm. Lord knows, there's so many that's out there that is. But you know what? See, that's people going after having their ears tickled.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the kind of message people are going after today. They don't want to hear the true gospel. They just want to hear something that makes them feel good without having to be good. They want to feel safe and saved without having to do that which the Bible tells us that we are commanded to do in order to even dare to call ourselves followers of Christ. Because not everyone who says, I'm a follower of Christ, is a follower of Christ. The Bible says many will say, Lord, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Jesus say?
Oh, go away, I do not know you.
Get away, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
Because today there's so much false gospels, false messages, false religion, false Christianity, that it's really hard to actually know who is a Christian, a true Christian, and who is not. It's really hard. And it's all part of the deception of the end times. Because Satan himself will disguise himself as an angel of light, and he will be behind the pulpit preaching the word of God.
Yes.
Satan himself, in order
to
deceive.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else it is? See, people want to be entertained. People want to forget their troubles, and so it's a shame because you're even still going into the house of God looking to be entertained and not being fed. And then you don't want to take the time to feed yourself, you know, because we're in a microwave generation. We want everything right here and now. But we don't want to labor before the Lord. We don't want to pray. You know, if we pray, then we want it right then and there. You know, tomorrow, God, you showed up. No, God,
well,
you didn't show up and you didn't give me what I wanted today.
Exactly.
I asked for it yesterday.
Yeah, I want it now. I want patience too, but I don't know. The thing I look at, I've been looking at, and God's been bringing on my heart, and I have to look at it, is that, and I noticed something about the world, and I'm talking about the unsaved and the saved world.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they don't understand. Let me break something down to y'all that's very simple. I make analogies a lot. And people see it goes over their head because they want something more difficult to understand. But following Jesus is like, if I don't know he's there throughout the day, if I don't know my wife is there throughout the day, she's going to get really ticked off. Now, if my wife say, well, you don't kiss me, you don't love me, you don't do this, or even my kids, or even my teacher, you didn't come see me when I told you to come see me. If we don't, the presence of God is in our lives. If the Bible talks about they wake up every morning and they forget me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about the Israelites. I'm talking about the church, people who stay there in the church world. Jesus has to be all that in a bag of chips plus the factory and all the potatoes in the world. He has to be in your life where you're taking direction from the not only the tower, but you're taking directions. And I'm learning this, and the church world does not preach this. They don't.
No.
The church world does not want you to know that Jesus needs to be in your life. You can't ignore your wife. You can't ignore your boss.
Well, that's
your
lifeline.
You can't ignore your coach. You can't.
Yes, that's your lifeline.
Yeah,
that's the problem. That's the problem I have, and I spoke about it in my own show, and I said that today we have too many part-time Christians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Part-time Christians. We are Christians for a couple of hours on Sundays. We are Christians maybe for an hour on a Wednesday on Bible study or Bible school, and that's about it. The rest of the time we have the fun and live just like all the Gentiles live, all the pagans,
yes.
You know.
Exactly. And
God, we can't tell us apart from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing to set us aside, and it doesn't have to be. And when I say dress, I'm not saying go out and dress wild and, you know, look. But, you know, it's our makeup should be different. You know how they say, I'm crazy. You're crazy for Christ. You know, where Paul said, I'd rather be a madman for Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what we are. And I know I heard years ago, maybe about 10 or 15 years ago, that if you can pray on your hand or on your hands, if you know how many times a day that you have prayed and talked to God, you're not praying enough. Because you should be in constant conversation with Him.
That's
yeah,
it.
The Bible says pray without ceasing.
Ceasing,
and,
yes.
I'm just learning that, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. But a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, you would think, God is getting on me right now about, hey, bro. He don't call me bro, but, you know, he's
Well, look, he talks to us all on our own level. Now, come on now.
Yes, let's go out. Like, I like going outside in my back porch, even when it's cold outside. And I won't be doing that if I was y'all, though, in a couple hours. I like to go outside in the driveway and just pray to God against the house. Nobody
mm-hmm.
else can see me. And I like to do certain things, you know, pray at certain times. But God has put on my heart. He's saying be joyful. And we bypass some of the stuff, you know, the things in the Word, like rejoice in the Lord. And then I can say rejoice. If He says it twice, then He means it.
Right.
So,
you know, that's a stern, you know, a moderation. You know, okay, you want to get through? You know, you going through something, pray. You know, rejoice. You know, think back where God has brought you from.
The Lord is my strength.
Yes, and think back where He brought you from. You know, look at your life last year. Look at your life 5 years ago. Look what you learned. Look at where God has brought you from. Look at what He has sustained you through. You know, look at when you thought you were going to lose your job. You thought you were going to lose your home. You didn't have any food on the table, but somehow or another, God made a way, and there it was.
Yeah.
You know, because the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread.
Amen.
I have grown children. You know, I have grown sons. And, you know, and it's always, you know, Lord, okay, if I can't do it, you know, which I know they're going to be taken care of because, Lord, they're my seed. You see, they are my seed. And your word says that the righteous will not be forsaken, nor their seed, and they are my seed. So, Lord, I trust and I believe that you're going to take care of my children.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'd like to have y'all back on my show, I'm going to remember y'all combination because it worked out. And I would like to also have y'all on here separately and just shoot, you know, talk about what God leads us to. And then we probably have some times where we actually plan on what we're going to say. But that's cool. I mean, I enjoyed tonight. I'm going to let y'all go because I respect y'all time as far as the. And I'm going to be having 30-minute shows because I'm going to need a lot of practice on the 30-minute shows.
You know what? Honestly, what you do is, I'm going to tell you the best thing.
What's that?
Is you pray.
Yes.
And you ask God to lead you.
Yes,
and you see,
indeed.
And it's where the Spirit goes. See, because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in all directions. So you may come on and just say, well, y'all, you know, I'm just here to praise the Lord. And, you know, anybody else want to give a testimony or whatever? And there's your show right there. You see, but it's uplifted.
Most of the time.
You see, because in this time. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was interrupting, sorry.
No, that's okay, go ahead.
No, most of the time I do a show, I have a very vague idea of what I'm going to talk about. And sometimes I absolutely have no idea what I'm going to talk about. But I start my show always with a prayer. All my shows start with a prayer. I close my prayer asking God to take over and to be Him. I will step down and let Him talk, not me. And it's amazing how things just start flowing, and I start talking. And many times I have to listen from the archives to my own shows because I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yes. And that's
because
now the Holy Spirit take over. That's right.
It's not to me that I'm talking, you see. And it's amazing how many times I had to listen to my own shows because I had no recollection of what I was saying. And then I listen to the show and I say, wow, did I say all those things? No, it was not me. So my advice is just let it flow and just be yourself. Because when you open yourself to the Holy Spirit, the words are going to flow through your mouth and the Spirit is going to talk, not you.
Yes.
You are going to move your mouth and use your vocal cords, but who is going to put the words in your mouth is going to be the Holy Spirit. And never be tense or concerned or worried of what am I going to talk about? Will I have something to talk about? Is somebody going to come to my show? Is anybody going to call in or not call in? And what's going to happen if I don't have anything else to say? No, put everything aside and just let the Holy Spirit guide you. And you'll see that every single show is going to come just like a river flowing without It's wonderful. If you just clear your mind and relax and put all of the trust in the Lord, He will deliver the message, because you are before a microphone not by your choosing. You are before a microphone because you were placed there in such a time as this.
Yes.
Yes. Indeed. Yeah. That was preached a while back at my church back in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me so much, Esther. It stuck with me so long that I believe it now, that God has given me the chance, and He's putting it on my heart right now to keep the salvation simple, to keep the foundation, because once I leave the foundation, and that's what He's putting on my heart. He's putting on my heart that the million people that He's put in front of my face is not the million people that I just have a. It's like a weird feeling that I'm talking to me, but He's saying, I want you to talk as if you're talking individually.
Yeah.
And the lady from the station was talking. She is a blessed sister. Her name is Cheryl. I mean, she's a giggle bucket. I mean, she's full of joy of the Holy Spirit. I mean, she's just full of joy. She's like perky. And I'm talking to her, right? She says, be yourself. And it's kind of like what y'all just said, be yourself, you know, but at the same time, don't be yourself. Let the Holy Spirit run through you.
Right. Surrender yourself. Surrender.
And He's going to use your personality.
Like, Lord, use me. And you just be His mouthpiece. You know, it's like when you go to preach, and if you're preaching, and you're not preaching for the glorification for yourself, but if you're preaching for the masses of people, and you open yourself up, and you know, you said, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. You know, I'm going to be the vessel that you use.
Yes.
You know, I will be, I let your words flow through my mouth.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. I want y'all to listen to this theme song right quick before we go off. And I want to get y'all back on the show because I'm going to make a detailed, I'm going to go and just keep asking people, you know, until I'm out until May sometime. But I want y'all to listen to this, and I'm not really, I'm going to make another one where we're talking about scripture, we're saying scripture. There's a guy, his name's Andy, and he has a, I can't remember what it is, but he makes my intros and commercials. And I got another guy. He's an awesome guy. He has a voice deeper than mine, and I want him to make an intro too. And, of course, after we talk tonight, it'll probably be different next time, but I'm going to probably use this for a while still. And
yeah.
if you hear my son on the commercials, I believe that that's the way route we should take is to glorify God with scripture. So the next time I make a commercial, I'm going to remember that one. But listen to this and tell me if y'all actually, it's not on my files, it's actually on my computer. So hopefully y'all can hear it good enough. But just let me know how y'all, what y'all think before we go off. Hold on.
Okay.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
With every word of secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Besides, secret oaths.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for his church.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the Zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Well, it's loud because I got it loud on the computer. I don't know what y'all hearing.
Yeah, you can hear the words, but you have to strain to hear the words. But
yeah.
The music,
yes.
The background music, is sometimes really loud where it's overbearing over the words. Now that's
well,
my
like
opinion.
That.
I mean, and I'm trying to be constructive, Chris.
Well, it's like that because I'm coming off my computer. I'm not calling off my file. So if I'm using my files on Blog Talk Radio, it would have came out smooth. And let me do this for you. Hold on for a second.
Okay.
I'm gonna do this and then I'm gonna let y'all go. let me see. I'm gonna play a quick file and just listen to how smooth the file works. That's what I was trying to tell you before it started. That it was coming off my computer. Hold on, let me give you a commercial. Hold on.
Okay.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow American. This is David Robertson, inviting.
Okay, that's one. This is it's coming off my file. That's what I told you before the commercial started.
Now,
here's my here's one of the commercials I made on myself.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio. We discuss end-time events, the mind of Jesus.
Okay, so those are pretty smooth, right?
Yes.
Okay, that I was trying to tell you before I started that the files were coming off my computer, so it's going to be kind of loud. I don't know what y'all are hearing because it's coming off my mic.
Oh, okay.
So it might sound distorted. Remember
yeah,
I said
well,
that?
It wasn't
distorted.
Too clear.
Yes. Yeah. So what I'll do is...
The file
what
that
I'll do,
you upload, when you upload the file to Blog Talk Radio, then they come out clear. And,
exactly.
As clear as possible. But if you play it through your microphone from another source, then it gets distorted.
I just wanted to see y'all. Like I'll tell you what. When y'all listen to my next show on Sunday, it should be up and running. But that's the longer version too, so it should be nice and clear. To me, it sounds really good. But to you, it might not sound as good because it's coming off the mic. But anyway, God bless everybody out there. God bless y'all for being on the show.
God bless
you. Thank you for having it. I truly thank you for having it.
Exactly.
It's a blessing.
Thank you. And I'll be even talking to both of y'all for, as far as coming on my 30-minute show, because every 30-minute show from Blog Talk Radio will probably be on the national show. I got to talk to Blog Talk Radio, make sure it ain't their property, and I don't have any idea that it's their property.
Oh,
they might have something in the clauses. You know, you never know in the contract. You know, we told you it's your, you know, fine print, very little fine print, microscope fine print. But
yeah.
God bless y'all. I'll be praying for y'all both.
I'll be praying for you and for, you know, your international show and also for your Blog Talk show.
Thank you very much.
Because it's truly needed. It's truly needed.
Yes, indeed. And Patriot Greg, I'd love to have you on my show probably in about a week or so.
Anytime. Just let me know. Give
great.
Me a note.
Yes.
And I will be more than happy. As a matter of fact, I would be honored.
Yes,
Actually, I would love to talk to you, Patriot Greg, on the offline, on email, about you're a type of person that I love to fill in for me, because I can tell you just both of you. I can trust you that you're not going to go off and talk about UFOs landing on my head. Some of you seen some you tiny little man drilling a hole in my head last night, and that's why I'm,
yes.
You know,
I know. Well, for whatever purpose, there is over 115 shows in my archive that you can pick any one of them, and they will tell you more about who I am and what I'm doing. And another thing is, I have a Skype account. If you have a Skype account, we can talk for hours without having to use the phones and stuff like that.
That is
so,
true. That is true.
My Skype name is the same, Patriot Greg. So if you have a Skype account, type in the search bar Patriot Greg, and you will get my contact immediately.
Okay. And do we pronounce your name Antoinette?
Antoinette.
Okay, so I'm going to have both of y'all on my show. I'm going to put y'all on my schedule for 30-minute shows and for the 3-hour shows or 2-hour shows. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful night.
God bless you, too. You too.
Thank you. God bless you.
And it was nice talking to you, Patriot Greg.
Oh,
yes,
it was a blessing to me to talk to,
thank you.
To you, too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was your girl. I have a piano written out tonight that I'll piss off, I guess, off some of these articles. Crap they put on. But the point of this is, they are in RC, armed, elected, domestic terrorists, and we have voted in. The American people are in these seats. And it is much harder.